Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm your host, Mike Rondrono. I'm here today with my dear, dear friend, Nadia Cater. Nadia, how are you?
I'm great.
Great!
As great as we can be in this capitalist hellscape that we live in.
Yes, let's get right into it. The movie we're talking about today begins with a quote on screen that says, "When the poor give to the rich, the devil laughs." Which
That's
is
great.
Beautiful. But you know, before we get into everything, we have cause for celebration, which is since you were last on the podcast, you went and got yourself hitched. You went and got married. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a long time coming.
How long have you been together?
We've been together for almost 12 years.
Wow.
And we got engaged 3 years ago.
Wow, was it 3 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
That's fine.
Time is passing.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah, so this is what prompted this. Just, I think it's funny now. But so me and Danny are on vacation, and we went to Russian River, which is a little riverside, kind of beachside town in California, or area, rather, with a bunch of little towns, all tourist stuff. It's very cute, and it's just relaxing. It's a great mix of like being by water and also like being in a forest. So
okay.
So it's really cute and stuff like that. But we get this phone call, or Danny gets this phone call from the HR department at their job, who told them that, hey, you guys need to prove that you are partnered and that you share finances and live together, and you need to submit all this documentation or Nadia's getting kicked off your health insurance.
Oh, you're on Danny's.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, and they gave us 24 hours. And I was like, are you out of your mind?
Back up a second. Before this, though, you had what? You had a domestic partnership?
Yeah. We had a domestic partnership in New York, which is basically like the Diet Coke of marriage.
Sure.
You know, you get legal precedent, but you don't have to call it marriage if you don't want to.
Sure.
So we had this domestic partnership, and the simplest thing would have been to just upload that certificate, but we couldn't find it electronically. And we emailed the courthouse in New York, but, you know, it's probably going to take them months to get back to us. Who knows how many people got domestically partnered 6 years ago or whatever
it
was.
Right.
So we kind of had a talk. We had a lot of like emotional, like kind of, okay, let's figure this out. And then it's like, well, we kind of figured we've already been engaged.
Right.
We want to get married. It's not something we've been putting off. It's just life stuff kept getting in the way.
Yeah.
And it was, okay, why don't we just elope here and then take a picture of the marriage certificate. They give it to you, like, right after you do it.
That's awesome.
And that's what we did. So we, Danny's brother drove down because he lives in Sacramento. So he drove down to meet us, which is like a 2-hour drive.
Nice.
He was our witness. And we had some friends that lived near the area, maybe like less than an hour away.
Yeah.
So they just met us at the courthouse, and we had a marriage certificate plus civil ceremony. So they had a little ceremony outside with a cute arch. Yeah. And the people were like super, they were really sweet compared to the New York bureaucracy, which was hilarious.
Well, it's California.
Yeah. Some of them are nicer. But like, we actually have a picture of this. When we were signing our certificate for a domestic partnership in New York, in the middle of us, like, we're smiling and like with the camera, facing the camera, and right between us is just this bored bureaucrat sitting at her desk, and she was the one filing our paperwork and stuff, and like she could not care less. This is the same thing, but in California I was like, okay, let's try to recreate this, but they were just so happy and like,
that's great,
congratulations, this is great, it's so
that's
exciting
awesome
for you. And I'm like, well you're just ruining this for us.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have called that same bureaucrat, be like, remember us from 6 years ago? Do you want to come out to California?
She was like, absolutely not. Don't waste my time. I have 3 years left to retirement.
So Danny went to their HR and was like, I got you one better. Here's a marriage certificate. F you.
Yeah, it's kind of like they pulled out. I'm trying to think of like what reference would make the most sense here.
The HR was trying to have a knife fight and they pulled out a gun.
Okay, that's better. I was trying to think of like a Pokemon thing. Yeah, but it's kind of like Now it's like, okay, you know what? We did this our own way,
Yeah.
and it took a lot of the pressure off. And then now it's like, okay, we're married. Well, we want to have a celebration with family and friends. We'll just plan that
Yeah.
because we already got, we don't have to like find an officiant or figure out all this paperwork
Now it's
because we
just a
got it done.
party whenever you want to do it.
Exactly. So felt good. It felt right, you know, and also we've been together for so long.
Yeah.
I also feel like if it didn't feel right, then that'd be a red flag. Be like,
Right.
oh shit. This is real now. The last 12 years didn't count.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. Oh, they also told us this really wacky story. You can edit out as much as you want, Mike, but so out we the civil ceremony, we took it out, we did it outside with this arch and this, you know, it almost looks like a park, sort of, next to this government building. And there was a brand new sign compared to everything else on the side of the building that said no camping, like no camping outside the government building, which I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And the official that did our ceremony, she told us that an ex-employee, so someone that used to work for the State Department of California, lost his job at some point and was just camping outside
Ha!
with his pet chicken.
Of course, like
Yeah,
you
so he,
do.
as you do, he had a pet chicken. He also had a bunch of stuff that he was
This former
hiding.
employee's name, Gonzo the Great.
It gets worse. So R-rated Gonzo. So he was hiding his stuff outside. And
Sure.
there were do yeah, so one time they were doing a civil ceremony outside and this little girl found his stuff and was playing
Nice.
with it, and it turned out to be a butt plug, but she
Right, of
didn't know what it
course.
was because she's a little girl, so she was like pulling it through her hair like a comb
Oh, of course.
of gray. And yeah, so her mother saw it and just like, you know, slapped out of her hands, and they had to go through the security footage of like, where'd this butt plug come
At least
from?
he uses a butt plug and not the chicken.
I don't know if he's using it on the chicken. That's what I said,
Oh.
like R rating. We have no idea. We just, all she said that what they found on the cameras was him hiding like the butt plug and his other
Yeah.
stuff around.
Yeah.
So I guess they got rid of him in some way, but now they
Sure.
have that shiny sign to
They
remind
made him a
anyone.
sign. This is no
Because
camp because of that one person.
that one
That's
lunatic.
hilarious.
Oh my God. Yes. And now that's a part of our wedding story too.
Yeah. The guy would break up with the chicken, but he really needs the eggs. Brum cha, everybody. Welcome to PCMC. So dumb. Well,
Fantastic.
congratulations. Good. It's fantastic. You sent me the picture. It was very cute. We're all very happy for you.
Thank you.
Now let's move on to much more important matters, which
Of
is
course.
motion pictures. Today, we are talking about the 2026 film from earlier this year, They Will Kill You. Written by Kirill Sokolov and Alex Litvak, and directed by Sokolov. He's a young director who hasn't done a ton of stuff. This film is composed by Carlos Rafael Rivera, who did the music for Queen's Gambit. The music in this movie is like synthesizer, fucking awesome. Really incredible music. Nadia, what were your thoughts when you did you first of all, did you know about this movie? Were you aware of it? Did you just.
I saw a trailer and I was like, whoa, this is definitely up my alley, and
Yeah.
then just never kept up with it. So I was actually glad that you suggested this movie because I'm like, oh, great, now I can finally watch it.
Yeah, it's on HBO now, which is where I saw it as well. I didn't see it in the theater. It came out very, very close to Ready or Not 2, and it's compared to Ready or Not because there is a similar. It's a similar story, but I haven't seen Ready or Not 2, and I do like Ready or Not a lot, but I like this more than Ready or Not. I really enjoyed the high energy style of this movie. I almost want to say Kill Bill-ish, but I'm reticent to say things like that because of how much I don't like Quentin Tarantino. But it has that sort of spirit of arterial sprays when people get their heads chopped off and just gleeful, cartoony violence and really good fighting, amazing fighting.
I see what you're saying. I really liked Ready or Not, and that was my first comparison,
Yeah.
but definitely way better fighting. I
Yeah.
mean, she's also, I guess the movie kind of has us accept that she learned how to fight like a fighter from being in prison,
Yeah.
which is like, okay, sure, learn martial arts in prison.
Right.
Yeah, and also she has this stamina and energy that
Yeah.
is just so sustained.
Incredible character. I really
Yeah.
love the protagonist. This protagonist is named Asia Reeves, and she's played by Zazie Beetz from Atlanta, from Deadpool movies. I mean, it's like there, yeah. Basically, she's kind of doing like, it's not kung fu, but it feels very kung fu-ish. It feels really actually like early Jackie Chan, like the
Okay.
way that Jackie Chan had the great sort of the sort of valoretic ability to take the objects around him and use them. She does a lot of stuff like that. And you're right, the movie only has one like little explanation of like, yeah, she learned to fight in prison, but whatever, you don't even need it. It's so silly. It's like she's just a fighting machine. But she also, but what I like is she gets hurt. She is sort of super heroic, but gets hurt, gets scraped, bleeds. Feels pain, falls down, makes mistakes, gets hit, and is not eloquent. You know, when she doesn't have anything to say, she'll just curse at you and be like, "Fuck you."
It's fun, and I think what I this movie I don't it didn't do that well. Like, according to Wikipedia, it didn't even make its budget back, so this is definitely not gonna happen. But I would love to watch a series of movies or even a series of this woman going through different like horror stuff and just fighting her way out of it. Like, I think it would be incredible, like a trilogy or something. But the movie does not set that up. It's very much of like, no, this is just this one story. And I kind of think, well, I did really love it. I do love it. I think it's really fun. The writing is a little weak. A
Oh,
little
you
bit.
think so?
I think some things were kind of
You
I don't know, let's get into it.
Do you mean like narratively or dialogue-wise?
Oh, narratively.
Narratively. Okay.
Dialogue is great.
Okay.
This is definitely like a popcorn flick.
Oh
This
yeah,
is.
sure. So this movie, the premise of this movie is that the character Asia, she introduces herself as Isabel. She shows up at this huge mansion in the city, and it's the mansion is called the Virgil, or the whole building is called the Virgil, and it's this sort of it's this yeah go on
Well, I was gonna say, like, I don't even know if it's a mansion. I think it was one of
it's like a
those
building.
places. I think it's like, they don't really quite have this in this way, but like 100 years ago, there was upscale living in like hotels. Like, you could live in a hotel. And I think this is a remnant of that.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. I think it's also there's devil worship in this. So I think in some ways it's playing with like the Dakota and things like that, like from Rosemary's Baby. But the Virgil is beautiful. This movie has a really, really gorgeous, very composed production design. The Virgil is this sort of like Art Deco, very strong straight lines. Deep saturated colors, a sort of brutal symmetry in the way things are built. The building itself looks really great, and the whole film has this sort of color palette that's very cool, but weaves into it some like some warmer colors, but like on a cool tempo. Like it's very cool aesthetically, but there are like yellows. But the yellows don't feel hot. They come off feeling very green. This movie has a lot of greens and yellows and deep reds and stuff like that. The character shows up to this apartment building as Isabel, the new maid that's going to work there. And she's let in by Lily, who's played by Patricia Arquette brilliantly. And Lily sort of gives her a tour of the maid's quarters, which is all, I think, the first floor. And all the little apartments there are for the maids, the servants. They all wear these matching like little green outfits. And when we first get there, well, I should say before we even get there, we see a flashback of these two girls running away from their abusive father. The very first shot is an image of a sort of perfect nuclear family hanging, standing around a dining room table, but they're mannequins. And it's these two girls standing in the rain looking at this fake life, and kind of like it's not at all the life that they have because they're running away from their abusive dad. Zazie Beetz plays the older one, and then she's got a little sister named Maria. And it's raining. By the way, it's always raining in this movie, all the time, always. The dad find they go to a supermarket, whatever. The dad finds them. She tells the sister, "I promise I won't leave you." She has a little like birdcage tattoo on her arm, and she's like, "We're gonna be free now." The dad finds them, and the dad's very. When you find out the dad's abusive, it's interesting because you're kind of like, "What's this gonna look like?" But he ends up looking like he's not too old, and he's very muscular and has like tattoos on his neck. He seems very like aggro, but and it's never clear like what the abuse is. But the way that Zazie Beetz is protecting the younger sister, it feels like it could be sexual. The dad finds them. He drags the little sister away. She shoots the dad. He falls down, and then the police come. And then in her fear, Zazie Beetz runs away. So she gets scared and runs away and leaves her sister. And the dad ends up living and surviving, and the sister's stuck there. So Zazie Beetz feels, or Asia, the character, feels totally guilty. And then eventually she's arrested and goes to jail. Which is where she learns to fight. This movie does a lot of back and forth narrative. Like you meet these characters and then they'll do a flashback. I guess that feels very Quentin Tarantino as well. Like there'll be a flashback that'll say like Asia, and then it'll be her character's background, and then the same thing with the other sister and stuff. There's a little chapter that's just the Virgil and explains the whole history of the building. So the movie has a lot of CGI, which has like a sort of fake effect to it, but it works because the movie feels so composed. Like this doesn't feel like a real building anyone would live in, because it would be so oppressively insane. But anyway, the it really gets into action very quick. The first night, when she's shown her room by Lily, this guy named Ray, this man comes out, and she's like, "What were you doing in there?" And he says like, "Fuck you," or something like that. And she's like, "Oh, that's my husband. We've been together a long time." She says like, "Don't ever listen to anything my husband says." So Asia goes in. Again, she's going under the name Isabel now. She gives her ID card when she comes in, saying her name is Isabel. She goes in and she takes a shower. She goes to bed. She hears something. There's a grate in the top of the wall, and she kind of hears something, but it's kind of like whatever. Gets in bed, and then the refrigerator and she puts a what do you call it, a chair under the door, so it's like rigged to be locked so no one could come in. But then we see the refrigerator in her little apartment move, and then a guy comes out with a robe and a pig mask, which is always disturbing, animal faces on people's. It's never good. And then we see more. The cultists in this movie wear pig masks, which you'll see later why. And very creepily, like while she's sleeping, he like goes up and like licks her toe.
Oh God, that was so creepy.
Yeah, it's very weird. And he's like breathing heavily. And she wakes up, she fights him, the others come out. She sort of starts, it's sort of like a powder keg that goes off, and then it's really just like action, action, action. I forget how long this movie is, but it really, I think, goes at a very good clip. And the big guy who licks her toe is named Bob. But then we meet these other characters that live in the building. Kevin, played by Tom Felton from Harry Potter, he's Malfoy. Heather Graham as Sharon, and this guy Bob is played by Willie Ludlick. Sharon, we actually meet when she first comes in. And she's introduced by Lillian as one of the people who live here. You get the idea that this is like super rich people live in this building. Like everyone's an author or a very important person in some way, an artist, a financier, stuff like that.
It feels very old money kind of rich,
Yes,
which
yes.
it's literally because that's the twist is that they're immortal.
Yeah. I mean, and it's an interesting idea when you think about like immortality and generational wealth. Like you could literally just have it forever and have power forever. And the building, the Virgil, is in some ways like the concept of the ziggurat, the Marxist idea of like the bottom floors are literally the workers, and then the higher up you get, the more you get until money. So she just fights with them. And
And
we
kills them spectacularly.
yes, and you're kind of like, whoa, she's killing. She cuts what she goes into a closet, which is a funny move because you're like, what is she doing except like buying like 1 minute for herself? She goes to the closet and like, come out of the closet. She cuts fucking Kevin's head off. And you're like, whoa. I forget how she kills the big guy. She kills Heather Graham in a crazy way, which is Heather, she's knocked out. The big guy knocks her out with chloroform. So she comes to, and Heather Graham's character is like dragging her feet. So she takes a wire, strips it, bites it, so she electrocutes herself, which shocks Heather Graham and shoots her out.
It's crazy.
Yeah, she does all sorts of crazy shit like that. And it just, you know, there was a time in the early 2000s, like, I think this comes a lot from like Michael Bay, where there was, with the fighting, there'd be these really, really quick cuts and high frame rates, and just you couldn't really see what was happening. This movie is so generous with how much it shows and is proud of its choreography. A lot of it is done in full shots, so you can see her head to her feet. You can see exactly what they're all doing, exactly how they're hitting each other. It's none of it is hidden. It's all beautifully given to you.
I guess in thinking of my criticism, I think the first half of the movie is so strong, and then it kind of gets weaker, like by the end. That's what I kind of, 'cause I just like how you're describing this beginning, I was immediately roped in because we didn't know who she was really. We didn't know how she knew how to fight or what she was doing. But then putting the chair in front of the door, that indicates to us, the audience, of like, oh, she knows that there's something weird going on. And they're all creepy, affluent people that treat her like almost like a pet. It was very much like, we support you. We really am happy for you to join the family. But like, there are people in uniforms, there are people that are not. You're like, you're not a real family. The class stuff is a little, excuse the pun, ham-fisted, but other than that, it's you're like, fine.
No, I agree with you.
It's still
But
fun. I'm not.
I'm always happy to see class stuff.
Oh yeah,
You know,
especially American movies. Yeah.
yeah, because so much of our culture is pretending like there isn't a class system and pretending like the rich aren't the bad guys. So any movie that begins with a quote about how when the poor give to the rich, the devil laughs, I'm for it, even if it is silly. And this movie has, it is silly and it has a nice level of silly. It's certainly really violent. It's not really a horror movie, although sometimes people, I think, call it that. It's more a sort of like, I don't know, gothic action movie.
And it has a lot of comedic. Like, would you say it's a comedy or like an
There's definitely
action
comedy.
comedy?
It's definitely a
Okay.
comedy as well.
Yeah.
And there's amazing practical effects. The mo No, I think there's a point at the end, and we can jump all around because I don't want to go through the whole movie beat by beat. There's a point at the end, and tell me if this is what you're feeling. There's a point at the end where they're like, there's been all this fighting. She meets her sister again. They're together, blah, blah, blah. And then the bad guys are like, you know what? We're gonna bring you. You're gonna. It's time for you to meet the head. And they go and they bring her to this refrigerated room where we see the what they've been worshiping, which is this giant boar head, this giant pig head that this sort of like shadow comes out and possesses it, and that's the devil. The devil is in this boar head, and you're kind of on board there or not? Did because that's it. That's like it's another level of craziness. So was that for you? Like, where does it fall apart for you if it does fall apart?
What falls apart for me is when you see the sister, because you're kind of, from what you're learning about how the, because over time she's learning like what happens in this building, right? So it could go either two ways. Either she was already sacrificed or she joined them. Like there really wasn't any room. So it was unsurprising to see her alive. And then also bargaining with these people to join them. Like, so I feel like it was kind of obvious that that was going to happen. And that kind of took me out of it a bit. Because I feel like she should have thought about that at all. Dude, you're muted.
Oh, sorry. I muted myself to cough.
Yeah.
I was somewhat surprised actually, because I mean, obviously I knew she was going to find her sister. That was her whole plan. But I was a little bit, and I wasn't surprised that the sister was upset at her at first and was like, "Well, you left me, so I don't want to leave." But I was surprised that the sister like made a deal with the devil, and the sister was like with the bad guys. But then she also kind of like isn't. She kind of immediately kind of goes back on it.
Right. And it kind of, I mean, I'm not saying I'm looking for a lot of nuance in these kinds of movies, but
Yeah.
the sister really only existed as just the, this is the thing that gets her into this building in the first
She's
place,
like the
right?
MacGuffin, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So she doesn't really have much of a personality. But from what they, the bad guys talking to each other and giving us that
Yeah.
exposition, as well as what she hears, is that she, Asia is the new maid, which means she's the new sacrifice. So
Yeah.
if her sister came a month ago, she's either dead or undead. That's
That
the
makes
only
sense.
two.
Right.
So I was like, okay, so she's either gonna find pieces of her sister and go with revenge, or her sister joined them and she's gonna have to
Right.
fight her.
If she's alive, that proves that she wasn't the sacrifice. That's true. That's true. Yeah, so
Yeah, so like just to give that context, just for you know, if you guys didn't see it, the audience of like the new, they get a new maid and every month or so, and the maid is sacrificed or not, and because they have maids there, that means there's something going on. So something that the lower classes are given that opportunity to move up, which
Right.
basically means you're dead meat or not dead meat.
Right.
And
Right.
she also fights some of the maids later too, which is,
Right,
that's kind of
yes.
interesting of like
Right.
that kind of class on
Hegemony.
class. Yeah.
They're fighting for their oppressors. Yeah. I forgot that the title is invoked because when Zazie Beetz is taking a shower, we see when the steam fogs up the mirror, we see written like in somebody must have wrote it with their finger, "They will kill you," which you realize that guy Ray, who had been in the room before, he was giving her a warning. And I actually like his character a lot. After she spectacularly kills Heather Graham and Felton and all those people, she goes out and she comes face to face with Patricia Arquette, who, by the way, let's Patricia Kitt's having a moment right now. She's in Severance. There's a sort of Arquette renaissance, small renaissance happening, and I'm here for it. Because I think Patricia Arquette is great. And
Absolutely.
I like these evil roles she's been playing lately. You know? Well, it's almost like Hollywood, either like you've got to be like the young ingenue or like the mom, or like, you know what I mean? Like there's so many few roles. And I like that Patricia Arquette has been like, "No, if I have to be the matriarchal character, then I'm just gonna be pure evil." She's had like a good run of like real villainous characters. Like she was in that docudrama about Gypsy Rose Blanchett. She was the evil mother with the with
Whoa.
who had Munchausen by proxy. She's in Severance. She's in this. I'm glad that she's like, "I'll just be evil then."
That's fantastic.
So you find so. She comes into contact with her and she's like, "Who are you?" She explains her story. This woman, she found out she has a private detective that was trying to track down her sister for her while she was in jail. He found out that she was going to get a job at this hotel. So she went and she found this woman, Isabel, who was meant to start working at the hotel, and convinced her to like, "Let me take your place and I'll pay you and I'll go and I'll take your ID and I'll be you." And that's how she got in. But then you see the characters that she just spectacularly killed walk out, and Felton's holding his own head,
That was crazy.
and like it's great, like and they walk out in slow motion with this really cool, like, trying to think of what the song was, like it's like very very kind of playful song, and then they like he puts his head back on and you see the skin sort of like morph and reconnect. And they all start putting their body parts back together, and you realize that they're immortal. In this cult, you have to, well, in the beginning, they say you have to sign. And when you sign your name, you've made a pact with the devil, and now you're immortal. So it doesn't matter how many times you die, how you die, you will grow back. Even if there's one little sliver of flesh left, that sliver of flesh will grow back into a body. And there's a lot of gross and fun stuff with that. So they're all immortal. We find at the end that what you sign is the pig's head with a pen that hangs off his ear like an earring, but it's kind of like one of those things that they used to have at the bank where the pen would be on a thing. All right, well, what do you have a favorite fight sequence?
Oh, That's a hard one. I actually really liked when she was in the ballroom in the dark.
Correct.
And
That
that
opinion is
lighting,
correct.
that was so good. I feel like they were just co the choreographed so incredibly.
Absolutely. If there's one scene to see, it's that scene. It's after she's found the sister again. Or she found the sister on the fuck floor. You find out that all these different floors, they're because it's boring to be immortal. So there's like a fuck floor that's all orgies, and there's all these different floors, and that's where she finds her sister.
So I have to say though, that is one major tease and flaw of this movie, of
Yeah.
to not have her fight through the fuck floor
Yeah.
or any of the other ones. That actually would have been incredible, of just her fighting in hallways, like people in
Yeah.
like
With
leather
people
masks and
fucking.
stuff.
Yeah.
That's crazy because they get everybody to try to find her. Like that
Yes.
happens, and that is like 100 people or more of like all these people looking for her and chasing her, and
Yeah.
it's crazy good.
Yeah.
But come on, go through the fuck floor. You
Yeah, I
can't,
agree. I
don't tell
agree.
us that there's a fuck floor and don't go through it. I mean, she goes through the kitchen for God's sake. We got a
We
lot of the
only
kitchen.
see it through like a little grate. Well, at one point when she's running away from them, she finds like a system of like crawl spaces that are behind everything, and that's how she moves around. And she crawls over a vent, and we see people kind of vaguely see people fucking and sucking. And that's when Ray, because Ray, again, I think Ray's one of the most interesting characters. The guy Ray, who's married to Patricia Arquette's character, they were an interracial couple, I guess, 100 years ago, where it was probably a really shitty time to be an interracial couple. So they came to work as servants at the Virgil, and they got involved with the cult, and they wanted immortality, and they wanted to be safe and happy. So together they started getting all of these, doing these sacrifices and getting these people to kill. But as all of this time has gone on and she's become more powerful, he has sort of like he doesn't want to do it anymore. He doesn't want to be a bad guy anymore, which is why he like warns her and why he like she's always like, well, don't listen to anything he says, because he tries to warn the new girls who come in. And when she's crawling around in the crawl space, he meets her and he tells her the whole history of everything and how it all works. And oh, there's an amazing sequence where Heather Graham's crawling after her, and she shoots Heather Graham's whole head off with a shotgun, and she's got no head, and there's nothing left but like a little flap of skin, like over her spine and her eye, and then her and this is I think this is practical. Her eye. Which everything's still alive, so her eye starts rolling on its own and is like following them to see what they're doing. Just this eye and the string behind it, and then it like slingshots itself around. It's so fucking gross and cool. It's awesome. It's awesome. I don't know. I respect your opinion, but I don't know. This movie's too fucking fun. This movie's so stupid, and I mean that in a wonderful way. But no, I understand. I understand. Yeah, we're all over the place, but that's where I like to be. All right, you know what? Since we're all over the place, let me say something that I
Okay.
said to you privately, and I want to say it as respectful as I can here. PCMC, I think, is a safe space, and I never try to be crass on PCMC, but I do think it's worth acknowledging that seeing beautiful forms is one of the pleasures that cinema gives you. And in the first fight scene, Zazie Beetz is in green panties, no pants, no shoes. She's just in her underwear and a t-shirt with her amazing thighs, beating. She must have gotten such crazy shape for this movie, beating the shit out of people. And I don't think I've ever seen anything more wonderful in my life. I've never seen anything more beautiful in my life than
Yeah,
Zazie
that was
Beetz
great.
in this movie.
That was incredible.
It's incredible. 10 out of 10. No notes. I have no notes. I mean, first again, I don't want to be crass. She's an amazing actress. Like, she's very funny. But like, boy, is she a superhero in this, and it's just so fucking cool. It's also got a little bit of, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Being caught with your pants down and then having to go on an adventure. That's almost like a trope now. Like, I've been reading the Dungeon Crawler Carl books, and he also doesn't wear pants or have shoes because he started the adventure that way, and then he just keeps going that way. Die Hard, he doesn't have shoes. Anyway, I
I would
digress.
say, I would say Zazie Beetz really carries a lot of the movie. And
Yeah,
I don't.
you're right. I don't think without her, she gets the tone. She understands the movie she's in. She understands her assignment as like the Jackie Chan of this movie. She's perfect at it. I think anyone else, I don't know, it wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, I just like absolutely agree with all that. And her, I feel like I think by comparison, like, and I know her sister is the MacGuffin, but
Yeah.
it just seems like Zazie Beetz's character is more formed, like more flesh, like she feels like a person or a character.
Yeah.
And some of the other, and I know it's because there's a lot of people in this movie, but like
Yeah.
the small core of the evil people
Yeah.
also have that. Like I think Patricia Arquette has a really complicated kind of
Oh, yeah.
character in this movie because
Absolutely.
she was working class and
She's Irish. I wouldn't said she has this very thick Irish brogue.
she's Irish back in the 1920s where the Irish were treated
Like garbage, yeah.
like garbage and married to a black man.
Yeah.
So like
Yeah,
so
exactly.
she basically just, you know, when you for lack of better term, she kind of sold out for
To the
power.
devil. Quite literally, she sold out to the
Literally to the
devil. Yeah.
yes, sacrificing people who were in her space for
Yeah.
100 years.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of complexity in that, and also her loyalty to the devil, which
Yeah.
is that rotting boar head. And you know, it's like your description was great, but also was really disgusting was it wasn't a clean cut. It
Oh
looked
no.
like the boar head was like ripped off a boar and then just stuck on a pike.
Yeah.
It's
And
really
there's like
gross.
tendrils of meat that it uses almost like arms.
Oh, it's so gross.
Yeah.
It's good gross.
Yeah.
I love it, but
Yeah.
yeah, but what I mean is like
I get
they
what you're saying. I get what you're
yeah.
saying. Okay, so the way I saw it was the sister almost doesn't fit. The sister feels like a realistic character who went through trauma as a child, where the other sister is like a superhero. It almost like it doesn't fit. She has such a like a natural reaction to the life she's led that you understand why she would make a deal with the devil. Well, first of all, she was gonna die. They were gonna kill her. So in her flashback, they show Patricia Arquette is like, listen, we were gonna kill you. You were the sacrifice, but we just lost someone else. We need someone. You seem like a good person. We're giving you an opportunity here. Do you want to be immortal and work here forever? And we'll give you a life. We'll be your family, right? Because they look for, and this is, I thought this was clever. When it comes to sacrifices and for servants, they look for people who are people of color, people of lower economic status, people who don't have family. They specifically look for people like that, which
Yeah,
is what the sister is. Yeah.
they
Yeah.
target the vulnerable. But
Yeah.
actually, you know, now that you say that, that makes a lot of sense because it's like her character almost was like taken from another movie or something.
Right. She.
It's like a different, totally different
Right.
tone compared to
Right.
Zazie Beetz.
Yeah. But anyway, getting all the way back to what we were saying. So the ballroom scene. Okay. So there's a fight in after they've the sisters have remet. There's a they go in the what do you call it? They realize that this little group of villains isn't going to be enough. They need to get every person who lives in the building to help them. So Patricia Arquette does this announcement. There's somebody in the building. She's a danger to us. Everyone get together. And so now everyone in the building's after them. So there's this they have this one fight in the kitchen with the big guy, and that's a fun fight because the sister saves Asia and is like. Kind of like they kind of reconnect a little bit. And then there's this ballroom that's connected to the kitchen that's completely dark. So Asia walks through it, and then like you'll hear like footstep, footstep, and then she'll be like, ow. And then like foots, like so there's obviously people hiding in the dark that like keep coming and like hitting her. And we can kind of, it's very dark, but we, the audience, can kind of see the people running around behind her and getting her. They're all wearing the cloaks and stuff. But then she goes out. In the hallway, she gets an axe. She covers it in some sort of rag. There was a knocked over like liquor. She pours the liquor on the rag, and then she has a Zippo. She uses her Zippo and sets the fucking axe on fire. So now it's a flaming axe in a completely dark room, and she's wailing on people. And as she hits them, they light on fire. And it's the fucking coolest action scene I've seen in so long. It's fucking incredible. Not since the fight in the dark in fucking, what's that other really Marxist movie? Snowpiercer. Do you remember Snowpiercer? Did you see Snowpiercer with the train?
You know, I didn't. I just like read a lot about it.
There's a it's actually very similar themes in that movie too. Not since that have I seen a fight that's good. It's so fucking good. And the everyone's setting on fire. She hits them, and then there's the old white couple, and he's like, listen, remember we met in the lobby. I know this looks bad, but if you get to know us, we're really good people. Which is so funny, like the old fucking white people that are like can be that evil but still see themselves as good people. Like that's only something you can get from like old white people. Like I'm still a good guy even though I'm clearly evil. I it's just awesome. Oh, and at one point somebody has a shotgun, right? Slow motion Asia flips a table up, then jumps. And I should say this is the kind of movie where there's kung fu physics. So people can jump in any way. If you're shot with a gun, it's not going to go through you. It's actually going to push you back physically through the wall. So she flips the table. She jumps behind the table towards the bad guy. The bad guy shoots the table. The table splits in two. It opens in front of her like a door opening. And then she comes in with the axe and fucking cuts him down the center of his body. And his body splits in two down the center. It's mwah, chef's kiss. This is cinema. This is cinema, people. I don't know
Oh
what else you
God.
want.
So I know this conversation kind of started and we looped around of like favorite fight scenes. So are you just saying that this one was your favorite fight scene?
Yes, I think the
Yeah.
fighting's all good, but this is absolutely just the conception of it. Like a scene in the dark, but where the good guy's losing, and then she has a weapon that's on fire, and that's the thing. I mean, obviously it's digitally done. Because it would be insanely hard to actually try to shoot that. But visually, what's happening through the CGI is the fire of her axe is what's lighting the scene. And they really they really make it work. And it's
It
just
was
funny to see
beautiful.
her, it's just fun to see her just wail on all these fucking people.
Constantly. That's
Yeah.
the fun of the movie is that, and also the kind of hellscape that she's in, that she has to keep killing the same people
Yeah.
over and over and over
Yeah.
again. And the only reason why they don't kill her is because they need her to for the sacrifice.
Right. Yes, I see. Right. And I think there's a, if I don't remember from, is there a ticking clock on it? I think there is. Isn't there like we have to do a sacrifice tonight or something, something?
Yeah,
I feel
something
like
like
there is.
that.
Because like they can't go and get another sacrifice for some reason. There's some reason why they're like, no, it's got to be her.
I think it has to be a certain time, and also the whole building is like locked down, except like
Yeah.
you can only get in and out from the front
Oh,
door.
right.
Yeah, but it was kind of like Ready or Not had that similar structure, like at the, spoiler for that movie, when everyone just starts exploding. They didn't sacrifice her in time. That was
Yes.
hilarious. But yeah, there is some, but it also didn't feel very urgent in some way. Like it kind of felt more
Yeah.
like a forced of, oh, I don't know how to explain this, but it kind of the ticking clock in this movie.
I don't mean to put you on a defensive
Oh
because I
no,
like it
yeah.
more than you.
No, I like it a lot. It's
Okay.
that's not it. But being critical does not mean I didn't like
True.
it. I loved it. It's just some things were pretty obvious of like these are some weak points,
Yeah.
but I think like there is some kind of ticking clock sort of, but it's not really talked about a lot, and it kind of doesn't really feel like a part of the
Right.
stress of the movie. The stress of the movie is more on Zazie Beetz trying to find her sister.
Yes, I agree. You know what it feels like? A video game.
Yeah.
Even the way that the bad guys respawn. It's like you're just going through it's just like a melee until you hit the final boss, which is the pig. Or the pig when Lily puts the pig's head on her head and then it's like Pig Lily fighting.
That was crazy. I was.
Yeah. It gets increasingly more insane. But I kind of like that too. Like you look at something like Rosemary's Baby and they treat devil worship as like something like mystical and I don't know, it almost gives it too much respect to make it so scary. I like that these devil worshippers are just fucking schmucks who like have devoted their whole lives to this fucking literal pig head that gave them immortality and money, so they're just totally okay with it. I mean, is the pig head a Trump metaphor? I don't know, maybe. I think one of the best scenes, by the way, is when it's very clear that Rey is straight up betrayed them. They tie Rey up in a chair. And by the way, I want to say Rey is played by an actor named Patterson Joseph, who's really good. And he's tied up on a chair, and Lily's talking to him, and she's like, I love you. We've been married for hundreds of years. He's like, when this was a really shitty neighborhood filled with crime, I felt okay getting these sacrifices because we would find shitty people. But lately, the people we find aren't shitty. They're just people struggling to live. So it's interesting that he sees it as like, there was more integrity when they were killing bad people, and as they got richer, they became the bad people.
There's still something also so heartbreaking about that scene, and I think it's because of the strength of those two actors, of Patricia Arquette's character having to kill her husband because the pig told her to.
Yes, that is very sad. When they go at the end, when they go, and it's this big refrigerated room because I guess because it's he's a pig head, so I guess they have to that's dead, so you have to keep it refrigerated.
But I can't imagine like how. The room was big, so that must cost a lot, right?
Oh yeah, I would imagine so, yeah.
Though I also wonder why they have a giant refrigerator room and not keep him in like a freezer or something. But anyway, whatever, it doesn't
Right,
matter.
because it's a temple. Well, it's got to be a fight, set piece for a fight.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, so they go, everyone's in front of the pig. The pig comes to life. And the pig, by the way, is voiced by James Remar, who you might know from various, he's a character actor. He tells her to kill Rey, and she says, like, I'm sorry, and he says, I made my decision, it's your turn now. Because he's kind of appealing for her to turn good, but she doesn't, she cuts his throat, which is sad. And then the pig tells Maria, and then Maria's like, I'm sorry, I betrayed you. So there's a moment where you're kind of like, oh, is Maria really turning on her sister? Is this some sort of a ruse? And she's like, the pig says for her to kill Asia, but then she cuts her own throat, betraying the pig. And then she's lying on the floor, like dying, and Zazie Beetz is right next to her, and we can't he she can't speak, but she's moving her lips, and there's subtitles on the screen of what she's like saying. And what does she say? She says, "Go fuck them up." And then you see that what had happened was she wrote Asia's name on the pig, so Asia can't die now. So now it's immortal Asia against all the bad guys, and it's just fucking awesome. It's wild.
And
And
also, she's like erasing the names as she's killing
yes, right.
people.
So you see them really dying. She has like this machete. She cuts her own name off the pig's head, and we see the shot of like the flesh like flying in the air, and she like grabs it and puts it in her pocket. She takes the big guy and she puts him against a wall and like takes this pipe and like puts it through his head, and then his head explodes, and then it's like snowing. So it's now it's like snowing inside the room. It's beautiful. And then they fight. Eventually, she erases all their names so they all die. Then she burns the pig head and sends it, like, you then see all the other people who live in the building. The pig head on a platter burning comes through the room, and she's like, you should all probably like get out of here. She gets out, and then the building explodes, and she's holding her sister's dead body, and the private detective guy is there with his car, so I guess his plan was always to pick her up the next morning. And he's like, what happened there? And Asia goes, rich people. And he gives a look like, ugh, I know. But then the sister comes back to life, because what you saw was, even though the sister wrote Asia, you see a little flashback where she took the flesh and she turned the Asia into a Maria. So now the sisters both live, and she says, I told you I wouldn't leave you behind. And that's a happy ending. Oh, and the building explodes.
As it should be, as it
As it should be. What more do you want from the movies? No. I'm not putting you on the spot. What would you change? Like, what would you make? You would change the sister character? How would you make it better if you could?
I would kind of change the sister character to kind of lean a little more evil or good, because I feel like it was just kind of confusing for whatever the plot needed. One, two, I would make the PI kind of be more like a supernatural handler, opening it up to sequels where he just tells them where to go and they go kill things.
Yes, yeah.
I was like, this is so close to
It's like
being like this.
supernatural now. Yeah.
It's like supernatural but actually good.
Yeah. I've
Take
never
that.
watched any of the 35 seasons of that show, but I know that it has its fans.
I watched the first four seasons because a girl I had a crush on was really into it. And it was fine. And then it was like kind of schlocky but fun, but then it got like super Christian.
Does it really?
Because it gets into so like the first four seasons are just all about like supernatural creatures of different kinds from different like cultures and stuff like that. But then they start focusing on like angels and God and all, and I'm like, I don't give a shit about this. And then I was like, you know, I'm not watching the other 300 seasons of this. After that, no one's hot enough for this.
No, it's hot. Did you call the girl and tell her, listen, you're just not hot enough for me to keep watching this show?
Oh my God. Well, come on. Have you ever done something stupid because you thought someone was hot?
Of course. Of
Yeah.
course.
Everyone has.
Of course.
Watching garbage. But yeah, I probably should have, but like, look, this can't work
Yeah.
out. You have terrible taste.
That's why
All
you gotta love Buffy. Buffy,
right.
they bring in angels and gods and stuff, but Buffy never gets Christian. They never
Well,
even really mention God. Or if they do, like it's not a, he's a non-entity.
so it's kind of look, and I'm remembering this from like 15 years ago, okay? So please bear with me. But it's kind of like the old gods, so like, you know, the ancient before Christian gods are all together and they're warned about Christian god like God and angels and they're more powerful and then like an angel like kills all these gods. And I'm like, "Come on, Christianity is not necessarily more powerful. We're just in the zeitgeist of it."
Right.
And that just pissed me off of just like I was like, okay, I don't care anymore.
But what's worse? What's worse?
Okay.
Going, getting Christian or doing what that last Exorcist movie did, where instead of like just being Christian, they wanted to be as woke as possible. So there's like an Avengers of Exorcists. Like, I don't know if you saw that movie. It's awful.
No. Oh
In
my
the
God.
end, there, at the, swear to God, in the end scene with the exorcism, there's literally a Catholic priest. Like a rabbi, a shaman, like they literally have an Avengers. It's because they wanted to go out of the way to say, like, no one religion is. And it's like, listen, I'm an atheist, but like, this is an Exorcist movie. Like, that's a Christian thing. Like, just do the thing you're doing. Like, don't wimp out. Like, what a weird. Like, I never want to say something's too woke, but it's like, this is
I
stupid. Like, like, what are
mean,
you
did it
talking about?
work?
Yes, of course. They saved. Oh, it sucked. God, that movie's so.
When did it
Sometimes
come
I've.
out?
Like 3 years ago or something,
God, I didn't even know they
Exorcist
still.
Believer.
Ew.
It was so bad. I saw it in a literal empty theater. It was me and no one else. Oh, it was so bad. So bad.
I didn't
Anyway,
even know they were still making.
there's another one coming out, but this one now is another reboot because the last reboot didn't work. And the new one's by Mike Flanagan. So I hope it's good. I think he's done good things.
He's fine.
The Exorcist is like Jaws. Like, you have one great movie. Like, there's not more to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think The Exorcist 3 is great because it's really more of a spin-off. Like, it's really not an Exorcist movie. So, like, stop doing Exorcist movies.
Well, I don't know. I think let's keep going, but like make it wilder, like The Exorcist 3D. Interactive movie where you decide.
Yes. You, yeah.
Let's just make it ridiculous.
It's an exorcism, but it's like a it's like a, oh, I was gonna say it's an influencer, but they actually do that in My Best Friend's Exorcism, the Grady Hendrix book. So
Oh yeah. Well, okay, it's a reality show
yeah.
then.
Whatever. We could just stop making exorcist movies. I'm fine with that. I think we talked about everything.
I think this is kind of obvious, but just from how we were talking about it, but would you recommend this movie to
Yes, but if you're somebody who is squeamish to blood and stuff like that, obviously it's not for you. But if you aren't, you know, it's not a scary movie, really. I'm trying to think if there are any scary moments. Not really, right? Are there any jump scares?
I don't
Not
think
really.
so.
No,
It's just
no.
more kind of bloody and gross.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a gro it's got like the aesthetics of a horror movie, but it's not a horror movie because it's just a wild action movie. Yeah, I would suggest it to anybody who, if any of the things we've talked about are things that you like, then I would absolutely suggest this to you because it's a fun time. It's not too long, I don't think. I forget how long it is.
It's like 90, 95 minutes, something like that. So it's pretty tight. I am all for shorter movies.
I say this all the time. 90 is like 90-minute movies and 350-page novels. Mwah. We should never go more than that. I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, I don't think this movie. Oh, yeah, it's 134 minutes. No, sorry, it's 1 hour 34 minutes. So it's 94 minutes.
All right.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Not any fat on the bone.
It's please, like any action movies, horror movies, they do not need to be more than 9. That's tight.
I think every movie doesn't need to be 90 minutes, for goodness sake. That's like Marvel did that to us.
They did. They just kept making their movies longer and longer. I'm like, why? Who asked
Yeah.
for this amount of exposition and quippy comments? No, thank you. Okay, so actually, I looked up the Exorcist movie, and this is starring Leslie Odom Jr.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
And Ellen Burstyn, which wasn't she?
She was
Oh,
in the
no.
original Exorcist.
Yeah, okay.
She
Yeah,
did
this.
this for money. She said very openly, I did it for money for charity. She's barely in it.
I love when actors are upfront with that.
Oh.
Like, just be honest. We're okay with you doing stuff for money. We do stuff for money. We just don't make millions of dollars like you do.
I know it's a funny thing really, because it's like no one would say to like anybody with a real job, like, you just do this job for the money. Like, yeah. Yes, I do. I need money. I need money to eat.
Oh my God, there was that comedian. He usually plays like a nebbish character. Oh my goodness, what's his name? But or a comedic actor rather than a comedian. And I just remember in one interview, he was like, "I would do anything for money." And I'm just like, "Thank you. Be
Yeah.
honest.
Yeah.
Just do the schlockiest, stupidest movies so that you can go on vacation. So you can have a giant house. Just be
Yeah.
honest. We don't believe that everyone's doing this stuff for artistic integrity." Okay.
Yeah, right, exactly. Would you recommend this movie?
100%. I think it's so much fun, and just so enjoyable. And again, tight. It's tight. I think it would be a great double feature with Ready or Not.
Yes. Yes.
Or even like a little more on the
If
horror.
you're
It's
really
not
in
Happy Death Day, I would say.
Did you re I'm not a big Happy Death Day fan. You like Happy Death Day?
I liked it, but it could also, I didn't see the sequel, and also it could be the time when I watched it.
I thought Happy
So.
Death Day was the most obvious like mystery that I've ever seen. I've never seen a movie where it's so clear who the killer is from the suspects. It's like clearly it's that person, and it is. And it's like, who did you think didn't know this?
I kind of took it as like I just kind of enjoyed her. I like the
You like hot
Groundhog
girls
Day.
being violent.
No, I like thank you. I mean we all do, but I think what I just like Groundhog Day more
Yes,
than the actual
I agree.
movie. I like the concept a lot. And I like when they do it, especially with actual like consequences, but then they kind of get rid of that. But yeah, I enjoyed Happy Death Day. It's like I'm like,
Yeah.
okay, the mystery is if you're an idiot, you can't tell who it is, but
Right.
I can enjoy everything else about it.
It's like the isn't it like the sad goth roommate or whatever? Well, she's not goth, but she's like sad roommate. And it's like, well, I wonder if you're the
Yeah.
killer.
The wet blanket
Yeah.
roommate. Yeah,
Yeah.
obviously it's gonna be her.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I think it was just fun. But anyway, you mentioned Quentin Tarantino, and I think this movie is a bit like them, but it
Especially the
levels up
feet.
the feet thing, yes. But it levels up the cartooniness that makes it fun.
Well, no one is like, it knows that it's stupid where Quentin Tarantino would be this stupid, but then also with really long, overwrought dialogue scenes. And then
Yeah, like
somehow it would be stupid, but also self-important at the same time. And he'd be like, just be stupid. Why do you think you're smart?
and then more close up to the bottom of her feet, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
He would be like, listen, I've got to be the one who does the foot scene. I've got to be the one who licks her feet. We need, you know what I mean? I'm not going to make a stunt person do it. It's got to be me.
I like that he started playing that up more because I feel like because everyone kept talking about it for like 15 years, he was like, okay, now I'm just gonna lean into my
Yeah,
fetish.
it's just going to be in every movie. I'm trying to think of the last time he had a movie that I liked.
I don't know, Jackie Brown.
You know what? I liked Inglourious Basterds somewhat.
That was fun.
Yeah, I think that's the last one of his I liked.
I think that's the last one I saw. Like, I stopped caring after that.
Hateful Eight wasn't good. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood wasn't good. I don't know if I'm
Boring.
missing one. Anyway, Quentin Tarantino sucks. Nadia, thank you so much for being here. And once again, congratulations on your nuptials.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoy that health coverage. I hope you go get blood work as soon as you can. I hope on your way home from the honeymoon, you want to Quest Diagnostic and get yourself some blood work done right away. We end every episode by saying,
Go, bye bye.